I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today, I have two fantastic dream experts, and because of their extensive work with clients, newspapers, radio, and TV, I will give you an abbreviated biography in the interest of time. A more complete biography can be found on the Holistic Health Show and the BBS radio sites. In addition, some dream analysis by Dr. Lennox will be on the next show. My first guest is Dr. Michael Lennox, one of America's most recognized and respected dream interpreters. For more than 20 years, he has been interpreting dreams, illuminating the meaning of thousands of dreams in workshops, in the media, and for corporate and private clientele. He studied at the Jung Institute in Los Angeles and obtained his master's and doctorate in psychology from the Chicago School, formerly California Graduate Institute. Dr. Lennox has been seen internationally by millions of viewers on many television shows, beginning with the Sci-Fi Network's The Dream Team with Annabelle and Michael, for which he filmed 65 episodes beginning in January of 2003. Since then, he has also been featured on the Emmy Award-winning reality show Starting Over, Soap Network's Soap Talk, MTV's Myths and Urban Legends, National Lampoon's Editorial Desk, The Wayne Brady Show, The Gregory Mantel Show, as well as local news broadcasts across the country. His frequent radio appearances showcase his work on a monthly basis on Sirius Satellite Radio's Playboy Channel, the Rolanda Watts Internet Radio Show, and on Canada's premier talk show, Jacques-André Cristal's show in Toronto. Dr. Lennox's works have appeared in numerous magazines and newspapers, including Women's Health, Star Magazine, Today's Woman, 360, and TV Guide, including a special edition dedicated to interpreting the dreams of soprano character Tony Soprano. His doctoral dissertation, Astrology and Personality, was published in Lambert Academy Publishing in spring 2009. Currently, Dr. Lennox lives and practices in Los Angeles, California. More information is available at www.michaellennox.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Michael, and I look forward to talking with you about dreams and an area that I am especially interested in. So I look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you, Michael. Now, Michael, how exactly did you become a dream interpreter?
It's a kind of a funny little job in a way. Mm-hmm. I kind of looked around my life and decided what I loved the most and created a life around that. But truthfully, it started in my childhood. I was just fascinated with my own dreams. Mm-hmm. And I, as a teenager, picked up the book Freud's Interpretation of Dreams, because it was on my mother's shelf. She was getting a master's in social work. And mm-hmm. I read through this book, and I really was struck by the idea that you could get some value out of considering a dream. And in social settings, as an older teenager and a young adult, people are constantly saying, oh, I had the craziest dream last night. Mm-hmm. And I just had this sort of instinct, I call it a calling. I didn't know that it was a calling back then. I was 17 or 18 years old, but I had the instinct to ask people, why don't you tell me what your dream was about, and I'll see if I can help you make some sense about what it would mean. And the experience I had with people doing that was really uncanny. I would just say what I thought, and I don't really know what I was getting what I thought, mm-hmm. but people would respond. Of course, now, many, many decades later, I recognize that what was happening was that I was having a personal intuitive experience mm-hmm. that was coming out of the symbols that make up the stories of dreams. Mm-hmm. And it was a kind of a natural gift, and it made sense in my adult life to follow that and then formalize some of that by becoming a psychologist and then devoting my life to the study of the interpretation of and the fascination that we have with dreams.
Mm-hmm. Great. Michael, does every dream have a meaning?
You know, I like to say only if you ask. You know, it's like, are all vegetables good for you?
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
answer would be, well, only if you eat them.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that all dreams have meaning, because I think that every moment of life has meaning. At least my life feels very meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you choose to examine a moment for its meaning, you will find some.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't think that there's any element of life that is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think one needs to get solipsistically sort of stuck in examining every little crumb that falls off of you. That's, you know, a little crazily narcissistic. But I do think that the dreams are a snapshot of what's going on with us unconsciously. And if we choose to look, there's something there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Now, Michael, what is the value of looking at your dreams?
I have a kind of theory about what dreams give us in terms of wisdom. And I kind of try to take a look at, you know, what we know scientifically and then what we have to sort of imagine mystically. So scientifically, we know that we get smarter in dreams, that it's where we learn information. College students spend more time in REM sleep when they're studying for exams than when not. So that
mm-hmm.
tells us that there's something about what the brain is doing during the dream state that is helping us acquire specific information that we've taken in during the day. That turns into knowledge. We become smarter.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that in the mystical side of it, there's something a little more magical that happens, if you'll forgive the word,
mm-hmm.
that makes us wiser on a soul level. We sort of repractice our day's events. Now, in the dream world, the event might be being chased by a shark in a tempest sea. When the daytime event is kind of, you know, our boss has been on our back about our performance. You see, they're both the same story. Only
mm-hmm.
one is told in symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the symbols of the life, you know, experience unfolding. So I think that we get wiser from dreaming and better at handling life's conflicts, life's challenges, life's difficulties, life's stresses by practicing them out in our dreams and becoming more acquainted with who we are.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people will say, I don't remember my dreams. And so is there any help for those people?
Well, you know, people, and actually how they usually say it is, well, I don't dream.
Oh, right, right.
Which cracks me up, of course, because the truth of the matter is that if someone didn't dream, they would eventually have a psychotic break.
Mm-hmm.
Dreaming is that important to the brain's functioning, and it's a kind of a resting thing that happens, that we go into a deep pattern of sleeping. The brain tells the body not to move and goes into a state of paralysis, and then the brain gets very active, and we sort of are repeating as much sort of brain neural activity in the dream state as we are in the waking state. That's why we sometimes look at dogs doing that funny little leg kick.
Mm-hmm.
When they're sleeping, we say, oh, they're dreaming. They're paralyzed so that they won't be running around, but they're just as active as they are, you know, during the day. Same for us. But then we wake up into consciousness, and that's a very abrupt change.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is that people aren't not remembering their dreams. They're simply not skilled at making the transition from sleeping to waking and taking the moment that's necessary to tap into that sort of middle part, that middle ground between sleeping and waking,
mm-hmm.
in order to bring some of those memories into the daily life, because we're immediately into taking our first breaths and stretching and getting up and getting out of bed. So the best tool, and really the only tool, for increasing that memory is to practice being in that state.
Mm-hmm.
You do that by putting a pad, a journal, some writing implement next to your bed with a pen or pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And that you state the intention to yourself that your desire is to remember your dreams, but the very first thing you need to do in the morning is go to that pad and pencil. And you do that whether you have remembered a dream or not.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what you have to write down is, I didn't remember anything from my dreams last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I encourage people to sit there for a moment before moving on see if any little fragments of images come, and if they don't, just go on with your day.
Mm-hmm.
It's the action of writing, whether or not you consciously remember something, that is the key. The unconscious wants to be heard, and so if you give it that little indication that it's that you're ready to receive that information in your waking state, my experience is, based on this sort of technique working for people, is that very quickly you begin to sort of open the valve a little bit more, a little wider, the valve between the conscious and the unconscious, the sleeping and the waking.
Mm-hmm. As you get older, like me, you get up and go to the bathroom during the night. And so sometimes before I get off out of the bed, I will have remembered a dream, and I'll just jot down maybe 3 or 4 words. And then in the morning, for me, when I look at that, again, before I get out of the bed, the dream will come back, and then I'll...
Yes, that's you're creating sort of like little linchpins inside your conscious mind for the expansive dream that's in your unconscious by identifying those symbols. It's a brilliant technique. It's also a little bit... You're also hearkening into one of the techniques of working with a dream is to pick a handful of images that feel the most important to you or the most interesting or the most compelling and write them down. Or you write down the dream and then you underline those words.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't become important for you to have a completely satisfying, cerebral understanding of what the dream means, but you have some creative images on which to ruminate and sort of, you know, marinate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like to tell people that there's no right way of working with a dream, and that this thing that what I was talking about earlier, this getting wiser part, that's happening whether you remember your dreams or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a human fundamental function that occurs beyond memory, beyond consciousness of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can increase the value of the insight that we gain. We can gain more of it by spending a little time with our dreams, and because people ask me, why bother?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and so the why bother is you'll have a better experience. You'll have a deeper set of insight to who you are on the invisible side of life, in the unconscious side of life.
Mm-hmm.
And with every little bit more that you do with a dream, you're just increasing the value that you can gain from them. So whether it's to jot them down, write them in a journal, maybe talk about them with a friend or an intimate companion. And, of course, my favorite thing to encourage people to do is to be creative with your dreams and your dream imagery.
Mm-hmm.
Draw it.
Mm.
Write a poem about it. Write a short story about a dream. The unconscious mind is speaking to us in the language of symbols, and it is most responsive when we speak back in the language of symbols,
mm-hmm.
creatively,
mm-hmm.
from the heart. Not necessarily from the cerebral mind.
Mm-hmm. Michael, why do some dreams recur?
Well, there are 2 categories of recurring dreams as I've both experienced them personally and what I've seen in my practice. There's the stress-related recurring dream and the process-related recurring dream.
Mm-hmm.
The stress-related are the ones that we all know about, and in fact, all of us are pretty much having the same stress-related recurring dreams. These are dreams of falling, dreams of being chased, dreams of being in some form of danger, dreams maybe being in the danger of drowning from waves or swimming. So there's all these things that if you got a bunch of people in a room together, you wouldn't have to go very far down a list before you'd see everybody raising their hand saying, oh, I've had that one.
Mm-hmm.
These are the sort of recurring moments when the brain is telling you, you're too stressed, we got to do something about this. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a scenario inside your unconscious where you're in great danger, but you're going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're eventually going to wake up and that monster's not going to get you, even though in the dream it feels like, uh-oh, it feels like it's really happening. But in fact, we do wake up And the waking up into the new day after fighting off the demons in the nighttime scenarios is a success. It's like a practice round for dealing with fear.
Mm-hmm.
So that when we wake up, we can face our lives, which are from time to time scary and challenging, we face them a little braver because the night before we slew the dragon, or mm-hmm. at least didn't get eaten by the dragon. So the stress-related recurring dreams for someone is the economical way that person's brain has of identifying stress. So for one person, it might always just be best expressed by a shark. Whereas for another person, it's always going to be someone chasing them. For person number three, it's always going to be a plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
It simply works well. It tells the brain, certain stress is up. Let's handle it. Let's process it so that we can wake up the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other kind of recurring dreams are the ones that happen in little bunches and usually mean something specific is up in that person's life, and the unconscious is knocking on the door trying to get attention. And we'll just keep using the same symbols over and over and over again. Today, in fact, I blogged about a recurring dream that I received from one of my Facebook mm-hmm. people. That was a recurring dream where a woman was dreaming of being on a path and having some big cats, wild sort of cats that were not too large, but still full-grown adults gnawing at her right arm.
Mm-hmm.
She had the dream more than once so that she knew that it had some sort of a meaning. So what we did was we broke the dream down in a bunch of symbols, and because she's on a path in the dream, we know that we're looking at how she's moving through her life in a very personal and private way, as if the path through our own life is our journey alone to have.
Mm-hmm.
She feels like there's some danger, but she's kind of relaxed about it. That is, she's not uneasy. So this tells us that some shift or change is afoot. The change is happening, but it's not so big that she's terrified. And she's actually recognizing that the best way to get through this shift and change is to be very still.
Mm-hmm.
And then cats represent feminine energy. Dogs are the realm of the masculine energy. And so that we know that there's something about feminine energy and being still that's being called up by this dream.
Because
mm-hmm. that's the power of the feminine energy, is the ability to be receptive and still as change is occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And these cats in the dream are gnawing on this woman's right arm. The right side is the masculine side. And gnawing, that's, you know, they're not breaking skin, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like a gnawing thought. Have you ever heard that phrase?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's been gnawing on me. That's been gnawing on me. So there's some idea about what's going on in this woman's life that is powerful enough for the brain to send a recurring image, and it's trying to get her attention to take a look at something about where she's at on the path of her life,
mm-hmm.
where her old instincts might have been to be more assertive, aggressive, and masculine, as in nature, as in to take action, but that what might be being called for here is to be more still and more receptive as this change is unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
And given that I know this woman and I know that she's got children that are becoming adults, the fact that these cats in her dream are cub-sized mm-hmm. but fully grown
mm-hmm.
might indicate that we're in the realm of her and her role as a mother to children who are no longer
mm-hmm.
cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And that her job is not to be as assertive in a mothering way, but to be more receptive.
Mm-hmm.
So there we have an example of some stressor that's causing a recurring dream. So to give it a more simplified, you know, here's the fortune cookie version of the answer to your question.
Mm-hmm.
The process-oriented recurring dream is designed to get our attention about a specific thing that wants to be looked at in our life, but we're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer, you know, I'm going to jump ahead and think your next question might be, well, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
When that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other piece of beauty about my sense of dream work is it doesn't matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing with the dream world is enough to expand your level of insight and self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
just like what you described you do, just writing a few words down and then remembering the dream the next day, you're opening up the gateway between you and yourself, knowing each other more intimately.
If you remember a dream all day and you haven't written anything down, is that dream more significant?
I do believe that our unconscious wants to know us, that there is some compelling drive that it has that we can't describe because we're on the other side of it, we're on the conscious side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly think that one of the ways it might do that would be to keep something very prominently at the front of your mind that would normally fall into the chasm of forgotten dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be presumptuous of me to say that I know why that happens and that, yes, it's because it's more important. I can't say that as a factual response.
Mm-hmm.
But I can certainly say intuitively, both in my own experience and with the experience of friends and clients, that, yes, when a dream will not let you go, it's because there's something in it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the important piece to know is that it's not in the dream itself that the magic happens. It's in the back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So that if a dream is hanging on to you all day long, your job is to look at it, but look at it loosely, and you don't want to wrestle with it until it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to overthink it, but you can say, wow, this dream must be powerful because it's speaking to me all day long. I'm going to play with some of the images in it in my mind. Well, you know, it's a dancing bear. Oh, well, that's nice. Well, what might that mean? Or what do I feel like when I think about a dancing bear? What would it be like for me to dance around my living room pretending I was a bear?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then the real juice is in the next dream that you have.
Because
it's an ongoing conversation between you and your unconscious. I like to sometimes call it a knock-knock joke.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep progressing before you get to the punchline.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Sort of dream by dream, night by night, process by process.
Yeah.
So you're obviously an avid dreamer.
Well, the reason I ask that question is because I do have some dreams that just, I get up and I walk around all day and I haven't put them down, but they stay with me. And so then I think, well, I need to put this down in my book. And so I write them down. But others I'll just, as I say, jot down before I get up or when I get up to go to the bathroom. And then I remember them that way.
Well, I believe that this is like a dance and not a military drill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So my experience with my own dreams is that I never bother writing a dream down or working with it unless it really tells me that it wants to be worked with.
Oh.
I just don't bother. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't. That's not what I would advise a person who's just beginning this journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've devoted my life to it.
Mm-hmm.
If I was advising somebody at the beginning of the journey, I would say, hey, write them all down.
Mm-hmm.
Take some time. Make space in your consciousness for what the richness of your unconscious mind might be giving you, not even just in your dreams, but in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Look around at the things that happened in your life and interpret them as if they were a dream.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually you do have to get to a point, or one does get to a point, where you just know when a dream wants attention.
Mm-hmm.
And when that occurs for me, I'm a devotee. I do it at a level of real love and sacred love for my own humanity.
Mm-hmm. Now, can I ask you about some dreams?
Oh, I'd love to talk about some dreams.
Okay, then in the first one, the dreamer says, I was going out to dinner with friends, but somehow I was alone. I came to a high mountain covered with snow, and I climbed it. When I got to the top and looked over the other side, there was a flat rock surface going straight down and fields in the distance. I knew I could not get down that way, so I started back down the mountain. But now the snow was gone, and there were large, heavy wires running from the top of the mountain to the bottom. I started sliding down the wires, and when partway down, I saw my friends coming. I also realized the wires were covered with grease, and my suit and long winter coat had grease on the bottom.
And that's the whole dream?
Yes.
Wow. Beautiful dream. Interesting journey. This is a real journey dream because there's a very specific, you know, journey that the dreamer takes. So we start at the beginning to get a theme of the dream. The theme of the dream has to do with the nurturance and the sustenance that comes with community. And here's how we know this, that the dreamer at the beginning is seeking both community and nurturance. You're going out to dinner with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Food is sustenance and nurturance. Friends mm-hmm. are community.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a longing for sustenance and community, and a journey, almost a hero's journey. Climbing a mountain is a very strong symbol for taking a hero's journey. In fact, it's the journey for the journey's sake. If you think about the colloquialism of why do you climb that mountain, because it is there.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard that sort of mm-hmm. prophetic statement. So this is a mountain that you're climbing because it is there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're also reaching upward into higher ground, top of the mountain, then we are talking about the journey is upward in thought, higher in consciousness.
Mm.
And I'm going to go with the snow for a moment, even though the real significance of the snow in this dream is its disappearance in the second half of the dream. Water is always going to connect to the emotional and the unconscious side of life. Land would be consciousness. Water is unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
We're also made of water, and when we get emotional, we leak it. So there's also always a symbolic connection with water and emotions. And snow is water that's frozen over. It's cold.
Mm-hmm.
And we think of emotions having warmth and coldness.
Mm-hmm.
So that if this mountain that you're traversing up is covered with snow, on some level, there's a hidden element to what's beneath it, which we're going to get to in the second half of the dream, the foundational wires and griefs. But that in the beginning of the journey, it's cold, it's frozen over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting is that when you get to the top of the mountain, we see that on the other side, there's some very inviting scenario. There's that plateau and the fields beyond it, but we can't get there from here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a failure. That's an awareness that the journey on the front side of the mountain is not over.
Mm-hmm.
But what the vantage point that the dreamer gets by going to the top is to say, when I am done with this particular lesson that I'm grappling with, there's a great place to go to, this wonderful, what did you call it, the flat rock surface,
right,
and the fields
right.
in the distance,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're not ready to go there yet. We're going to go back and revisit the issue at hand, which, again, the theme of which has to do with nurturance and community.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that there's a melting of the snow. There's a more organic emotional connection that is now available as a result of going to the top and having a vantage point. Think of it this way. This dreamer is climbing to the top and looking out at the vista of where he's going and says, okay, good, I'm worth the trek. I'll go back down. We'll do the work that's necessary so that I can get to this next chapter that's coming when I'm done with this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, there's a thaw. The emotional content has been sort of warmed up in order to get to the foundation below, which lets you get down there very slickly with wires and grease and kind of accessibility to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly the friends come.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a coming together, but there's also the impact and the sort of shame aspect of this, the grease.
Mm-hmm.
I slid back down to where I wanted to go, but it was messy,
mm-hmm.
just like life.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say there's also a spiritual principle built into this dream. That's very much the Dorothy learned at the end of The Wizard of Oz that what she wanted was already home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of that there, that nourishment and community is what is desired. But in the first part of the dream is sort of looking outside of his life to have it. And somehow the journey up the mountain and down again has told the dreamer that what they want is already inside them.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So it's a spiritually minded dream, in my estimation,
mm-hmm.
about current expressions of, you know, what's that term that seek first the kingdom within?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what this dream reminds me of.
Okay, thank you. Well, this has been very interesting. Now,
I'm so glad.
Michael, would you tell us about your book and any services or products you may have?
Absolutely. My Dream Dictionary that just came out this past year is called Dream Sight. That's S-I-G-H-T, Dream Sight. And it's available everywhere, bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, .com online. I also blog pretty frequently, both on dreams and astrology. And my blog is www.dreaminginterpretation.com. And my website, which is also a way to access the blog, but also has more information about how I work with clients, is my name, michaellenox.com. And I work with people in a variety of ways, both regularly and on a one-off deal. I do phone sessions. I also have a little special $24.99. You can send me an email of a dream, and I'll send you back an MP3 file of my interpretation, and that's available also on the blog, dreaminginterpretation.com.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I love what I get to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, then, any parting words for the listeners?
You know, my parting word for your listeners would be the invisible side of life is where all the juice and the action is, and I encourage anyone to do anything that they're moved or interested in to explore the inner parts of their being.
Mm-hmm.
Life is much richer as a result.
Great. Well, I thank you very much, Michael. This has been very interesting to me, and I know it will be to the listeners.
Well, thank you, Carl. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Now a word about a distinctive style magazine at http://adistinctivestyle.com. The current issue pays tribute to women who are making a difference daily, especially the baby boomers. This issue salutes actress, trendsetter, and activist Diane Keaton, who graces the cover with, what else? Her traditional fedora. Diane's family life was pretty traditional, but her mother kept a series of journals for years, says Denise Marie, the publisher. These journals provided Diane with a deeper glimpse into her mother's life. Sadly, Keaton's mother was later diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, and it was a difficult time for Diane, says Marie, who includes information in the magazine about the National Alzheimer's Association. Diane reminds readers that they are not alone in the personal fight against Alzheimer's. She's been there, we are all affected, and we can all lean on and learn from each other. The winter issue also features an in-depth interview with actress, fitness enthusiast, and go-getter Jane Fonda. Fonda, 73, who is still going strong. She's not only a role model for other women, but she maintains a busy, self-fulfilling schedule of fitness, friends, family, and performing. Her energy is contagious, says Marie. Over 60 supermodel Cindy Joseph is also highlighted in the current issue. Proud of her long, wavy gray hair, Joseph was discovered by a model scout at age 49, appearing in national print ads and magazine covers. A former celebrity makeup artist, Joseph recently launched her own cosmetic line, affectionately called Boom by Cindy Joseph. Joseph, who enjoys traveling, working out, and of course laughing, says, "I'm happy that modeling at my age has opened people's minds to more possibilities in their lives." In the winter 2012 issue, readers can also find green skincare products, interactive videos, music, and more. Other profiles include Sarah Snow, a green activist who dishes advice on Discovery Network shows, Alessandra Rain, a radio talk show host and prescription drug expert who explores the meaning of aging gracefully, and quotes and personal anecdotes from women around the world who discuss what motivates them to succeed and how they live regret-free. You won't want to miss this exciting winter issue of A Distinctive Style, available at http://adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest is Cynthia Richmond, a board-certified behavioral therapist, author, educator, television host, radio host, voiceover artist, columnist, and speaker. Cynthia's written a weekly column for the Arizona Republic, In Your Dreams, first ran weekly in the Los Angeles Times for over 3 years. In addition, her column, Interpreting the Dreams of School Children, ran for over a year and solicited invitations to speak at schools throughout Southern California. For 2 years, Ms. Richmond was the popular host of the daily live national television program, State of Mind, on the NBC cable television network from New York. She has appeared on The Oprah Show, Dr. Phil, The View with Barbara Walters, Politically Incorrect with Bill Moyer, Beyond with James Van Prague, Donnie and Marie, Lisa, Entertainment Tonight, Later Today's Show, Man from Mars, Montel, Maury, Ricky Lake, Soap Talk, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox News Networks, and on many others. One highlight was when she was interviewed by Anderson Cooper. He actually read the book, she said. Currently, she is the dream expert on www.infinitequest, the personal growth website created by psychic medium John Edwards. Cynthia's book, Dream Power, How to Use Your Night Dreams to Change Your Life, was published by Simon & Schuster, hardback, in 2000. The paperback version by Firestone Books in March 2001 is in its fifth printing. Cynthia has met, been interviewed by, or interviewed many of her personal heroes, authors, actors, and others, including, to name a few, Martin Luther King's children, Dr. Maya Angelou, Shirley MacLaine, and Marianne Williamson, Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Dr. Brian Weiss, Barbara Walters, John Edwards, Les Brown, Oprah Winfrey, Isabel Allende, Henry Mancini, Dick and Jerry Van Dyke, Donnie and Marie Osman, and Louise Hay. More information is available at www.dreampower.net. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Cynthia, and I look forward to hearing more about dreams.
Well, thank you, Dr. Carl. It's great to be here with you.
Thank you, Cynthia. Now, first, how can we remember more of our dreams?
Yeah, that is really interesting. The fact is that most of us do forget most of our dreams, especially in Western culture, because we think, what day is it? Where do I need to be? What do I have to do? But we all can learn to remember more, and it really is just by setting the intention to do that. Very, very helpful to have a journal and a pen or a little flashlight by your bedside, because when we don't write them down, they tend to evaporate.
Mm-hmm.
But all we do is tell ourselves before we go to sleep, I will remember my dreams. My dreams are important to me. When I wake up, my dreams will easily come to mind. And know that the way sleep works, every time you wake up to use the bathroom or to get up in the morning, you're just coming out of a dream cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stay still for just a moment and ask yourself, what was I just dreaming? You can start recalling your dreams, and the more you do it, the more you'll remember.
Mm-hmm. Then, Cynthia, where do our dreams come from?
Well, that's debatable. We know for sure that everyone dreams every night, unless, with very few exceptions, a brain injury or some medications can block dreaming. But I think that there are many different sources for dreams, actually. The subconscious mind, of course, is the one acknowledged by psychiatrists. But ministers, priests would say that angelic realm can communicate to us in our dream state, that God or creator can communicate with us, and there's many stories of that. It's a beautiful book out called Dreams, God's Forgotten Language,
mm-hmm.
where a priest talks about how spirit can communicate with us. Many people have had the experience of dreaming about a departed loved one and hearing messages that were, intrinsically specific to them. So there probably are many sources of dreams, depending on who you ask.
Mm-hmm. Great. What type of guidance or messages can our nightly dreams offer us?
Our dreams can offer specific advice on something that we're wrestling with, whether it's a question in our career, our health, our relationship. They can lay out, many inventors saw their entire invention in the dream state or saw the next step they needed to take in the dream state. So really, our dreams can guide us in any dimension, any direction that our life is taking. Once you're remembering your dream, it's a wonderful thing to do to incubate a dream and ask your subconscious or dream source, what's in my highest and best interest to know about my health at this time?
Mm-hmm.
And see what comes in. Or how can I improve the quality of my relationship? And just pose that question and see what guidance does come in.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it helps to have a good knowledge of how you analyze dreams when you're asking the question, when you give yourself that suggestion, because otherwise you may not understand the dream.
Yeah, and it's really helpful to become your own dream detective and learn your own dream language, because most dreams are symbolic. Certain ones do come through literally, but for the most part, our dreams are symbolic, and our subconscious mind chooses symbols that it knows our association to, mm-hmm. in order to give the message that it wants to deliver. So we each have our own private code of dream symbols. There are certainly, and Patricia Garfield talks about this a lot, there are universal symbols that seem to apply to everyone, even across cultures, gender, everything. But each person also has a very specific association with every symbol in their dream,
mm-hmm.
and so each dream has to be taken individually
mm-hmm.
And interpreted to get to glean the perfect message that's intended.
Mm-hmm. I always use the example that as a nurse, if I dream about the hospital, it may have something to do with work,
mm-hmm.
whereas someone else dreaming about the hospital that has no connection,
right.
it might have to do with their health.
Right, more likely with their health, exactly. Each thing is personal, and so you have to rule out the obvious thing first and then look to the symbolic. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cynthia, what does it mean if you have recurring dreams?
Well, a recurring dream happens for two specific reasons. One is that you have not figured out the meaning of the dream. And so the subconscious or dream source keeps trying to deliver the message so that you'll get it. And very often, it'll change up the dream just a little bit. And so you can look at the differences in the recurring dream or dream theme to get to the meaning. But also, if we're going through a life cycle where we've already learned something, we've already accomplished something, and we're back doing it again,
mm-hmm.
the subconscious might give you that recurring dream to remind you, you know, we've been here before, we dated Mr. Wrong before, are you sure you want to do this again, kind of thing. So those are the two reasons that we have recurring dreams.
Mm-hmm. And what about dreams that come true?
Yes, these are the fascinating ones for me. In the 1960s, there were two bureaus that recorded dreams that came true, one in London, one in New York. And people who had dreams that came true would register their dream, and then they would verify it with a news story. So people might have a dream, and they'd see the N number on the tail of a plane, and then that particular plane would indeed crash, or there
mm-hmm.
might be an earthquake, or there might be some other earth change type of a thing. And they determined during the time that existed that about 12% of dreams are precognitive. Most people have mm-hmm. had a dream that came true in some way. Some people have a lot of dreams that come true.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know exactly, but somehow in the dream and sleep state, we're able to tap into other dimensions. We're able to tap into that, you know, window of time, knowing now that we do with quantum physics that all time is happening at the same time. Somehow in the dream state, some people and sometimes are able to tap in and actually see something and predict the future because they've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Cynthia, I often will remember a dream. A lot of times I forget them if I don't write them down. I usually keep a pad and pencil at my bedside, but if I don't, a lot of times I won't remember them when I wake up. But
mm-hmm.
there are dreams that I will remember all day after I get up, and so then I go and I write them down. Are those different than other dreams if you just remember them all day?
Yeah, it could be. It could be that it's so vivid or so important that your subconscious mind is helping you hold on to it. And also very often people will not remember their dream when they first wake, but then something during the day will trigger the memory of the dream. They'll see something that they saw in the dream, or some person will say something and it will all come back to them. So that is significant when that happens, because we do tend to forget most of them. So I'd always say to definitely pay attention to that when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Then, Cynthia, what are the five most common dreams that we have?
Well, I have had the honor and privilege of reading more than 55,000 real people dreams, because I wrote a column for the Los Angeles Times and the Arizona Republic and other publications, now for InfiniteQuest.com. And I've been able to categorize them into about 35 to 40 sections, folders, and I was able to figure out for me, with the research, the top five. And those are being naked in public or underdressed, forgetting a garment, teeth falling out, being back at school and it's test day and you've forgotten to study or you can't remember your locker combination, that type of thing, falling and flying. And those seem to be the top five, and most people have had most of those dreams.
I've had all of them except my teeth falling out.
Okay. That's interesting, because you're in the communication industry now. Teeth falling out generally means that you have maybe had T. Martinis and said too much at a party and you're worried that it's going to end up hurting you in some way, or that you can't sink your teeth into something having to do with communication or having to do with, in the olden days, when someone lost their teeth, they, especially in the animal kingdom, if an animal lost its teeth, it couldn't defend itself, it couldn't eat, it couldn't procure food, and so they would die. And so teeth falling out dreams had to do with fear of aging or fear of dying. But in more modern context, it's usually about communication and appearance.
And what about the dreams then that you're having a test and you're unprepared, or you're going to teach a class and you're not prepared? And I've had a lot of those where I'm not prepared for whatever it is I'm supposed to
do. And that dream has a lot of different incarnations. When I was on my book tour with Dream Power, I did all the morning drive radio shows, and the guys, the disc jockeys, would tell me that they had the dream. They called it the dead air dream, where they went to the men's room and they couldn't get back in time, or they couldn't find the CD that they needed, and that kind of thing. And one of the TV hosts that interviewed me, Maurice Dubois, said his version is he gets to work and he can't find a tie, and he can't go on the air without a tie, and he's frantically looking for a tie. So we all have these that kind of plug into our own lifestyle, and many people, it is back to school. And it does have to do with feeling unprepared and a mild anxiety about being tested or judged and not being prepared. So the remedy to having that dream is to ask yourself, how can I be more prepared? What can I do to take control of the situation? People have that dream when, for example, they're going to meet their new love's parents, or they're going in for a job interview, or that kind of thing. So it's a warning to us to take control of what we can.
And what about the falling dream?
Yeah, falling is fascinating, because many people have a falling dream that is more brain chemistry than symbolic. It has to do with the fact that we become temporarily paralyzed during REM sleep, so that we don't, probably nature made us that way, so we don't act out the dream or fall out of bed or kick somebody. So there's a brain chemistry feeling of falling, but there's also dreams of where you're actually falling. And falling dreams have to do with a time that we're uncertain about where we are in life or what our foundation is. For example, if there's a rumor going around at work that there's going to be layoffs, you might have the falling dream because you're wondering if you're going to be one of the ones that's cut. So it's a feeling of uncertainty in the waking state that translates as falling.
Is the falling dream and the flying dream more common among children? Because I used to have these as a child, but I haven't had this type of dream for years.
Yeah. A lot of kids have flying dreams, and, you know, most cultures, and they call it different things, we call it astral projection, but this possibility, ancient Egyptians and of course, the North American Indians, many cultures, Aboriginal, talk about their spirit leaving their body during sleep, and that the spirit doesn't need rest, the body does, but the spirit was thought to be able to visit ancestors, get advice, get information, check on a loved one. And so many children claim that they see the neighbor's dog out in the yard and they're just flying around their neighborhood and that kind of thing until we kind of tell them that that's impossible. A lot of children do that. And adults do it as well, of course. But, yeah, probably that is more common in children.
And are you then really leaving the body?
Yeah, the sense is that the spirit is attached with a silver cord, symbolically, and that you can leave the body. I had a friend who was in, you'll like this story, I had a friend who was an intensive care nurse, and she would have 12-hour shifts, and she had cared for one patient 3 days in a row and had gotten very attached to the person and then had a day off. And while she was sleeping, she dreamt that she had gone to the hospital and checked on all of his vital stats at about 2:30 in the morning. And the next day when she went into the hospital, she looked at the chart at that time, and everything she saw was exactly correct. Every measurement, his temperature, whatever the thing she was looking at. So she believed that she absolutely left her body and checked on him. And a lot of people think it is a tie of love or loving concern, like mother's intuition, that enables us to do that.
Now, the one common dream then that we didn't talk about, and that was the being nude in public.
Yes.
Is that exposing yourself in some way?
Well, yes, it can be feeling overexposed, unprepared as well. I had a woman who wrote into my column in the LA Times. She had just broken up with her boyfriend in waking state. In her dream, she's in a museum, and she's absolutely naked except for her shoulder strap purse, which the strap keeps falling off her shoulder. And she's just walking to the museum, looking at art, admiring things, and her boyfriend comes in, former boyfriend comes into the dream, and he's with friends, and she says, "Can you give me a ride?" And he said, "No, I'm going the other way." So a museum is where we store things of value and beauty, historical reference. So my sense was she was going through a time where she was reviewing her life and her own history and deciding what was important, what was valuable. Our purse or wallet is a place that we store our ID, our identification. Her ID was changing. She was no longer part of a couple, but she was a single. And that's why the strap kept slipping off her, her shoulder. Her ID's changing. When she sees her boyfriend, he doesn't notice that she's naked or make any comment about it, but he says, "Oh, your strap's falling off." And then when she asks for a ride, he, of course, is going a different direction, and it really was an indication from her spirit or subconscious that it was the correct decision to leave that relationship.
Great. Well, then, Cynthia, would you tell us about your books, your services, and how the listeners can reach you?
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you can email me, cynthia@dreampower.net. Or you can email me at Infinite Quest, CynthiaRichmond@InfiniteQuest.com. I have a book called Dream Power that Simon & Schuster published. It's still available on Amazon.com. And my new book, The Dream Power Journal, which is a way to organize your dream material to make it as easy as possible to get every single message you're supposed to get out of your dreams. It's also got a little dream dictionary in the back, some of the most common dream symbols that people have, and tells you, prepares you in the front of the book on how to do that. And I would be delighted to hear from any of your listeners.
Now, are you available for consultation by phone or in person?
By phone, by Skype, and in person. And I'm also a speaker, and I love helping people to remember more of their dreams and use them. They're just one of the undervalued gifts that we have, and I just love helping people to take advantage of that.
Now, Cynthia, do you have a website?
I do. It's dreampower.net.
Oh. Well, thank you very much. This has been interesting, and as I told you, I always like to talk about dreams and dream analysis. So.
Well, thank you very much, Carl, and all best wishes for your sweet dreams.
Thank you. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I hope you enjoyed the discussion on dream interpretation and that the information was useful to you. On the next show, we will have a conversation with J.Z. Knight, author of two books, Chandler of Ramtha, and founder of the Ramtha School of Enlightenment, and also appeared in the movie What the Bleep Do You Know? Thereafter, we will start a short series on nutrition and weight loss. I invite you to my website at www.holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all of the previous shows since 2008 and can sign up to have future shows mailed to you free or for a free monthly newsletter on healthy holistic aging. You will also see some ebooks, my last book on healthy holistic aging, and a CD on smoking cessation for sale. I hope to see you again on my next show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.